ग्लानिर्भवति भारत। अध्युत्थानम् अधर्मशः तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता। धर्म संस्थापना
सुप्रभात और स्वागत है आपको हमारे साप्ताहिक श्री कृष्ण भावनामृत कार्यक्रम में। आज का मंगल प्रभात आपको सुखी और मंगल। कल हम मंदिर में, कल शाम 6 बजे से हम मंदिर में गौर पूर्णिमा महोत्सव मनाएंगे। तो लीजिए परम पूज्य स्वयं भगवान केशव महाराज जी से सुनिए कि गौर पूर्णिमा की महत्व क्या है।
One who does not show respect unto this merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or does not worship him, should be considered a demon, even if he is very exalted in human society. Oma gyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. In the early 70s, one boy was traveling through India and he came to Benares, Varanasi, and he saw the devotees and he was amazed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that my name will be spread all over the world had come true. Here he saw Westerners chanting, so it was a revelation for him. So he asked one of the devotees who was behind it. So they said, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He went from India to the West and he spread these teachings everywhere. They said, can I meet him? Somehow there were so many devotees that they hardly got an audience. He didn't manage to get a proper audience with Srila Prabhupada. So then he asked the devotees, where are you going next? So the devotees said, we're going to Gorakhpur and Srila Prabhupada is also coming. So he said, okay, I'm coming there. So the devotees went with Srila Prabhupada to Gorakhpur, and this young boy who had grown up in a Hindu family and who knew about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he followed. So he found out where the devotees were staying and he came into the building. On the ground floor there was a reception and there was an old man sitting there. So he said to the old man, I want to see Bhaktivedanta Swami. So the old man looked at him and he said, well, why do you want to see him? This boy said, because he's my guru. He said, he's your guru? Really? Why? He said, he's my guru because he's preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message all over the world. So this old man behind the desk, he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's he? This boy said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you don't know? He's an incarnation of Krishna. He's the Yuga Avatar. He's come to spread love of Godhead abundantly. The old man behind the desk said, what do you mean? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's just a saint. He's just a preacher. He's just a prophet. The boy said, no, you don't understand. He's not just a preacher. This is Krishna who has come in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The old man behind the desk said, no, Krishna is Tri Yuga. He only comes in 3 yugas. He doesn't come in Kali Yuga. The boy said, no, I'm telling you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And like this, the argument was getting more and more heated till finally this young boy told the old man behind the reception, just shut your mouth. I'm telling you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. And when he raised his voice like this, all the devotees ran in. When all the devotees ran in, they all paid obeisances to the old man behind the desk. So now this young boy got bewildered. He doesn't even believe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How is it that you're paying obeisances to him? And then the old man began laughing and he told all the devotees, don't worry, relax, I have it under control. And then the boy realized this old man is Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at the boy and said, "Very good. You have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not many people in this world have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And Srila Prabhupada took him to the room. They had some conversation. Prabhupada eventually initiated him, and that devotee became Radha Govinda Maharaj. So his first encounter was to chastise Srila Prabhupada. But not many people in this world have that faith that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, is Krishna. Even if you look in the encyclopedias or the books of the Indologists, then they will say Chaitanya was one of the famous Hindu preachers who spread the bhakti cult across India. Very few people understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, as Vaishnavas, when we go into the deeper Vaishnava understanding, then we realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just a preacher. He's not just a prophet, but he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come in Kali Yuga. But we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Channa Avatar or Gupta Avatar. He is covered, and therefore it's not so easy for people to understand his divine ontological identity. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come as a covered incarnation in order to fulfill his purposes. We know that his external purpose was to preach devotional service by practicing it himself. Therefore, he had to come as a devotee, and we know that his internal purpose was to relish the mood of Radharani, relish the mood of the devotees, and therefore he had to come as a devotee. So in order for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill his purposes, he had to come as a covered Channa Avatar, and therefore most people do not understand him to be the Supreme Person. Here in this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying, "One who does not show respect unto this merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who does not worship him, should be considered a demon." So this is like a heavy statement. Maybe it requires some explanation and some exploration. Otherwise, we may be moving into the realms of being born again Hare Krishna. Firstly, when Kaviraj Goswami says this, we can understand it to be exhibition of his incredible and profound devotion, his ecstatic realization and his ecstatic appreciation for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, this is more like an exhibition of a devotee's internal appreciation. Another way we may see this statement, as Kaviraj Goswami has given so much evidence to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, and still after reading all of this, if still one does not accept, then he's also considered to be a demon, because there is some substantial philosophy behind it. It's not just a wild religious claim. So these are some reasons why one may be considered a demon if they don't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one other reason came to my mind. Why is it that one who doesn't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a demon? One point that came to my mind is this, that Kali Yuga is a yuga of incredible demoniac influence. We know in the, for example, in the Ajameel pastime, Ajameel simply saw a lady, a prostitute, being embraced by a man, and that was enough for him to become completely bewildered. And in those purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that such a scene is a daily affair in the Western world. You go out onto the street and seeing, you know, a man and a woman embrace and all kinds of provoking images is just, you know, urban landscape, the urban scenery. Go on Saturday night Harinam and you'll see a lot of, yeah, well, heavy things. So Kali Yuga is such an age in which the materialistic and demoniac influences all around us, surrounding us everywhere. And Kali Yuga is also a yuga in which the materialistic influence is also within our own bones. The living entity in Kali Yuga is struggling with weakness. We are so weak in this yuga when it comes to spiritual life. I often give the example that we all have three lives. One life is our private life, what we do by ourselves when no one else is around except Krishna in the heart. We have our private life, and then we have our personal life, which is our life with the close people around us. And then we have our public life, our life where we're in the spotlight, where anyone and everyone can see us. And I sometimes think, if someone recorded three movies of Sutapadas, one movie, the private life, another movie, the personal life, and another movie, the public life, and then played those three movies side by side in the IMAX split screen, would it all match up? Would we be consistent in our behavior? Would we be seen to be free of hypocrisy, free of duplicity, free of inconsistency? That is a question we have to ask ourselves. And often, if one is honest, then one will see that there is no consistency, that we are professing something in our private life, we're showing something in our personal life, and in the public eye, we're something completely different. Now, one may say this is because of an insincere mentality, and that may be there, but maybe it's just because of weakness. We are all very weak, and we have our ideals that we're trying to live up to, and then we have the reality of the spiritual strength that we have to meet those ideals. And there is a gap, and in that gap, there is a lot of things that could go wrong. And therefore, the human, the sadhaka in this world, in Kali Yuga, is not only influenced by the external materialistic demoniac influence, but is also very, very weak within themselves. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was such a personality that he was followed everywhere, in his private life, in his personal life, in his public life, and he was never found to be compromised. He was never found to be inconsistent. He was never found to be duplicitous. No tinge of hypocrisy. Everywhere in Prabhupada's life, Krishna manifested. When he was alone and no one was around, he was there taking shelter of the holy name. When he was with his devotees in intimate surroundings, he would discuss and open his heart, and Krishna would come out. And when he would be in the public eye, in front of reporters, thousands of people, then he would only speak Krishna. Everywhere in Srila Prabhupada's life, Krishna came. Krishna was there. For us, Krishna may be in our private life, but then when we're out there in the world and so many materialistic influences overpower us, then maybe Krishna disappears. Or maybe for someone in the public life, there's a lot of Krishna, but then behind closed doors, something else happens. So we are very, very weak, and we are struggling to live up to the ideals of spiritual life. And therefore, in this age, to escape the materialistic and demoniac influence, an incredibly profound, powerful, and deep spiritual process is needed to overcome that weakness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the incarnation of Krishna who came to give a process that would allow one to transcend the internal weakness and the provocation of the external circumstance. And in that sense, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified, Anarpita Chiram Chirat, Karuna Yavatirna Kalo, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Karuna Avatar. He is the incarnation of compassion, and therefore the incarnation of mercy. And therefore, one who does not worship or accept the identity and the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given must be subject to demoniac influence of the age. There is no other way to overcome the weakness and the provocation of the world around us except through the powerful process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And in that sense, one can say that if one doesn't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're a demon, because they will be subjected to so much demoniac influence, and it will be very hard to conjure up the spiritual strength to ward off that material influence. Therefore, this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incredibly profound offering in this Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Karuna Avatar. It's interesting that the Acharyas make a distinction between Kripa and Karuna. Kripa and Karuna both mean mercy, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Karuna Avatar, not Kripa Avatar. So the Acharyas make a distinction because they explain that Kripa is mercy that you have to ask for. So therefore, we say, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, oh spiritual master, give me a drop of mercy. Or we pray to Tulsi Maharani, Kripa Kuri Koro Tare Vrindavanabasi, please bestow your mercy upon me and make me a resident of Vrindavan. So Kripa is mercy that you have to ask for. Karuna is mercy that comes even when you don't ask for it. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi sthana sthan, je jane payatane kare prema dan. That the Panchatattva did not consider who was fit and who was unfit, who was qualified and who was not. Je jane payatane kare prema dan. Whoever they met, they just gave the mercy. Boom, you're taking it. And therefore, Karuna Avatar, mercy that is coming even when we're not fully desirous to have it. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The example is often given of the Ganga. Standard thing when you go to Mayapur is that you have to take bath in the Ganga, and many devotees do it every day. Then, okay, you have to come out of your room and you have to walk down and then go to the bathing ghat where you can bathe in the Ganga. So that is kripa. You have to go to the Ganga and take bath. But often what happens in Mayapur is that the floods come. And when the floods come, the Ganga rises. And then the waters of the Ganges are inundating even our Mayapur complex. And then at that time, you don't have to make a trip down to the Ganga to take a bath. Is seeping right through your door. Kripa means you have to go. Karuna means it's coming to you. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Karuna Avatar, one who is giving the mercy. And this mercy by which we can overcome the weakness and difficulties that we have in living up to the ideals of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it's said that two very important principles are there for a devotee to understand in spiritual life. One principle is to know the power of Maya, and another principle is to know the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A devotee must be fully aware of both of these principles if they are desirous of success in spiritual life. Number one, to know the power of Maya. And number two, to know the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the process he's given. If you know the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but you're not aware of the power of Maya, you may become complacent, casual, and you may end up victimized. Maya is very, very powerful, and even a practicing devotee who's under the shade of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be fully aware of the dangers of Maya. One time a devotee left the movement, so the other Vaishnavas came to Srila Prabhupada and said, so and so has left. The Prabhupada was inquiring the reason why he left, and so on and so forth. And then finally one devotee said, anyway, Srila Prabhupada, once he goes outside and he gets kicked around by Maya, then he'll come back. Prabhupada looked at the devotee and he became very serious. And he said, just as there is no limit to the varieties of transcendental enjoyment in the spiritual world, similarly, there is no limit to the endless varieties and multifarious ways in which Maya can bewilder you and kick you in this world. Prabhupada said, there's no limit to Maya's tricks to keep one covered in this world. In another Bhagavatam purport, Prabhupada says, one should be fully aware of the ingenious, multifarious bewilderments of Maya. So one may think, I've seen it, I've done it all before, I've got the t-shirt, I've tried it all in the material world, and that phase of my life is over. But Maya is so powerful that she can again trick one to leave everything and go back to that which we had rejected. So Maya is very powerful, and the devotee must understand this. Sanatana Goswami was such a devotee. He left his kingdom. He left all his money behind. He left his family. He left his social position. He even gave up his good health to run away and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the way, someone had gifted him a chadar. And when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just kept looking at the chadar. And then finally, Sanatana Goswami could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't very impressed by the fact that he had this expensive chadar. So he gave it up. Now one will say, Sanatana Goswami, such a Vaishnava, he gave up his kingdom, he gave up his wealth, he gave up his family, he gave up his social position, he gave up even his good health, and all he's got is one chadar. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was displeased. Sanatana Goswami gave it away, he came back, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, an expert physician removes the disease in such a way that there is no chance that that disease will again enter. You've given up everything, and now you're holding on to this one thing which again may compromise you. Why? Give it up. So Sanatana Goswami gave it up. Because Maya is such that give it an inch and she'll take a mile. It's like in a plane. Planes have to be completely sealed. I used to be a baggage handler, so I know. Because, you know, like you have to drive the machine, like the stair thing onto the... So I used to do that job. Drive the stair thing on. And if you just inch one too far and you accidentally hit the plane, like even if you have to report it. Because a plane is flying at such a height that even if there's one small crack at that level of air pressure, air will enter and destroy the whole thing. It's just like, boom, it seeps in and then like that. So Maya is like that. Just a small, small inch, a small gap. And before you know it, you're on a slippery slope down. The devotee must understand the power of Maya. So powerful. We say Maya is an equal opportunities employer. It's all about equal opportunities in the world. Whoever you are, don't worry. Maya gives equal opportunities to everyone. No one is exempt. Buddha Bhavanapu was explaining nicely that she's the most expert salesperson. Salespeople nowadays, they're trained in objection handling. So even before they call you to sell you something, they know everything, all the arguments that you're going to come up with. So Maya knows all the arguments that we're going to come up with, and she's able to defeat all of them and still sell us that which we don't even want. That's the power of Maya. So therefore, firstly, a devotee has to understand the power of Maya. It's so strong. Nobody is exempt. And therefore, Prabhupada said, the problem of my disciple is that they do not fear Maya enough. And the first warning sign for us is when we don't even think we're in Maya. They say the first sign of addiction is denial. The one is looking at themselves and thinking, I'm okay, I'm doing fine, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, and that's the first sign that you are being covered. So therefore, a devotee must understand the power of Maya. But our process is not such a depressing process, because a devotee, along with knowing the power of Maya, is also knowing the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The power of this process, the power of the mercy of available in chanting the holy names. And therefore, an amazing transformation can take place despite the power of Maya and how difficult it is to overcome. By the mercy, we can transcend all difficulty. It's interesting, in the late 70s, the devotees went to 26 Second Avenue, of course, where the movement started. But they went back to 26 Second Avenue because somehow they had lost that building. So they went back to trying to purchase it back. So the devotees went with Srila Prabhupada, they met the estate agent. And the estate agent, of course, knew that it was a historical place of great importance to the movement. So he began hiking the price up because he knew that the devotees wanted it. So he began hiking the prices up, and then devotees were saying, well, we don't have enough money. Srila Prabhupada, was saying, no, it's our place. We have to, you know, it's a theater. This is where it all began. So devotees were saying, no, Prabhupada. And then one devotee said, Prabhupada, just leave it. This neighborhood anyway, this neighborhood is like a trash. It's full of prostitutes, drunkards, alcoholics, you know, homeless people. And then Prabhupada looked around at all the devotees and he said, yeah, but all of you came, didn't you? In other words, all of you were those same people, those same prostitutes, those same drunkards, the same hippies, and you got transformed. So anyone can get transformed. When they asked Srila Prabhupada, what's your miracle? Prabhupada said, this is my miracle. And he showed all his Vaishnavas who had been transformed, completely changed their life. So that's the power of the devotional process, that it can uplift one even beyond the powers of Maya. So therefore, a devotee must understand both things, the power of Maya and also the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we only understand the power of Maya and neglect to understand the other aspects, we'll become hopeless. We'll think, oh, I'll never make it in Krishna consciousness, it's too difficult, the ideals are too high. And if we only know about the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but we're not aware of the power of Maya, then again we'll become a casualty to the material energy, because Maya can bewilder anyone. And therefore, a devotee should always feel fallen. This is the ideal position to be in spiritual life, to feel fallen but at the same time very hopeful. And therefore, even in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai. I am lower than the worm in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses all their pious credit. And if they utter my name, they become sinful. Feeling himself very fallen. But then in the very next verse, he says, but all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, by whose incredible mercy I have attained the shelter of Sri Radha Govinda. So this is the position of a devotee, to understand the power of Maya and the incredibly how we've been victimized and how we're in such a fallen state. At the same time, to understand the power of the process and the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, to take advantage of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu frees us from being a demon. Otherwise, as Kaviraj Goswami says here, if you don't accept and you don't worship and you don't take advantage of this process, you are a demon. And that's a fact, because it's very difficult otherwise without this process. And therefore, we are trying to make a commitment to this process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. us. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would say, often quite nonchalantly, you have given so many lives to Maya, now just give one life to Krishna. Oh, Mahasaya, just one life to Krishna. You think like one life. One life to Krishna in proportion to the number of lives where we've just wasted and been engaged in Maya, and one life in proportion to the incredible amount of mercy that one can draw. What's one life? Not much at all. And therefore, this commitment in our life to dedicating this one life to Krishna, this commitment to the spiritual practices, is something which is very, very important. One devotee just came back from Vrindavan and they met one Brijabasi man. He was maybe 90 years old, worshipping his deity, his Thakurji, in his house. The devotee was asking his story and he explained that, I grew up in a Vaishnava family and my parents were worshipping Thakurji and the deities, Radha Krishna. And he said, when I was 8 years old, my parents died, both of them. And he said, when they died, I didn't know what to do. But one thing I knew I had to do was to worship Thakurji, to worship Krishna, to worship the deities. So he said, from the age of 8, I began worshipping these deities. And every day, this is all I do. And devotee said, how old are you now? He said, 90. And I thought, 82 years. 82 years of dedication. 82 years of devotion. 82 years of complete, unalloyed, undiverted service. What commitment? So this commitment is such a deep thing that one always remains rooted to the spiritual practices that we've been given. We know that the word guru means heavy. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj explains that the etymological meaning of guru is heavy. And he gives a further elucidation on the point. He explains that the guru is heavy in a sense that he cannot be budged from the lotus feet of Krishna. Come what may. So many things in life change. But to remain rooted at the lotus feet of Krishna, to remain rooted in the spiritual practices, this is what commitment is, and this is what will bring fruit of our spiritual practice that we're looking for. And therefore, that commitment to the spiritual process is so important, because the nature of the material world is always to change. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. The creation is coming and going again and again, and everything in this creation is always changing. On a material level, everything in our life changes. Our social position, the people around us, our financial position. So many things are changing on a material level, and even on a spiritual level, so many things are changing. Our service is changing. The devotees that we associate are changing. The temple that we're associated with may change. The nature of this world is that everything is changing. But the one thing that stays with us throughout all these changes is the spiritual practices that Krishna has given us. So therefore, a commitment, this sustained commitment to the spiritual practices, this will draw the mercy of Krishna. And I'll end with one point. Andhra Prabhu made a nice point, and he was talking about the pastime of Krishna being bound by Mother Yashoda. And of course, we know that Yashoda was able to bind Krishna by her endeavor, and the endeavor attracted the mercy of Krishna. So Andhra Prabhu said, let's examine the endeavor of Mother Yashoda. So what did Mother Yashoda do? She caught Krishna, then she tried to get all the ropes from everywhere she could get, and she was trying to bind Krishna, but she just couldn't bind Krishna. And then we know that eventually Krishna allowed himself to be bound. So Mother Yashoda did one thing in the middle before Krishna was bound. First thing is that she tried herself, then one more thing she did, and then Krishna allowed himself to be bound. What is that one more thing after Mother Yashoda had made her endeavor to bind Krishna? What is that one more thing that she did? She went around Vrindavan and she called all the Brijabasis and she told them, you get some rope as well, and you help me bind Krishna. A full endeavor consists not only of being determined and committed in our own spiritual practices to bind Krishna, but also trying to engage many, many other people in also trying to bind Krishna. And then the endeavor becomes complete. And when that kind of endeavor is complete, where we are rooted in our own spiritual practices and where we try to engage engage many, many others in the same, then it becomes a complete endeavor that Krishna becomes bound by. And therefore, to practice Krishna consciousness and then to share this with as many people as possible, that will undoubtedly attract Krishna's mercy. And then, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying here, we can avoid sliding into a demoniac life, which is otherwise imminent for anyone who's living in Kali Yuga in this age.
Hari Gurga.